it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Earlier today, I got the opportunity to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We'll play that for you in our normal time coming up at 3:15. We'll talk about Josh Simmons here coming up in just a bit. But before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you guys could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate that if it is the case. And number three, and what is probably most important, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. We got postseason baseball, college football, professional football. The NBA is a week away. NHL is just getting going. If you're looking for the perfect place to watch sports, grab a drink, get something to eat, and just have a relaxing time after work, the best place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. So let me give you guys my, I guess, broad view thoughts of what is happening with Josh Simmons right now. I have told you guys, and this is my vow, I am not going to speculate or pass any rumors on what could potentially be happening with Josh Simmons. If you work in this business, you hear things. There's some rumblings. People talk. But I don't think that it is appropriate to try to speculate and guess why he's not here. So the real answer is, I don't know why Josh Simmons is not currently in the locker room. I don't know why he right now is not with the team. I imagine at some point we are going to find out why he's not with the team. But at this point, I don't have anything concrete. All I've heard is rumor, this thing, it could be this thing. It could be anything that is happening with Josh Simmons. So I don't want to participate in the speculation of where he could possibly be. But I think we have to acknowledge that the Chiefs have created some of this in regards to this subject. So I want to play for you guys what Nate Taylor said a couple of days ago. Now, Nate Taylor is as plugged in as anybody when it comes to this team. If you remember how it was originally reported, because I think that's really, really vital in telling this story accurately. How it was originally reported is that everybody in the Chiefs front office wasn't notified. I'm going to guess that their job is a lot like our job, where if you were going to ask off or need some time, there is a proper way to do it and a correct way to do it. It doesn't sound to me, based on what the public reporting is that is what's happened with Josh Simmons. So I think that is what originally created this firestorm, and I use that in quotations. I want to play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say, because I would also add that some of the comments like this have continued to create the suspicion around why is your starting left tackle not with the team right now. This is our guy, Nate Taylor. This is what he was hearing about Josh Simmons on Monday,
where he went through the entire pregame warmup and he didn't feel right. And I don't know if that was like, hey, you ate something, or because of the heat, because it was very hot that night. And like, hey, for whatever reason, like, you're just not feeling great. Okay, put him down as questionable for illness, even though the game hasn't even started. Played the game, played really, really well. I don't think he talked to many reporters because, again, you kind of know the situation. Dude not feeling good. So I know I didn't talk to him after the game in Jacksonville. And then we have this situation. And I guess again, I'm trying to be reasonable, trying to be respectful. Like, would I be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday? Would I be surprised if he's not with the team all week? Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, I guess no. But it does make this perhaps a bit more mysterious, a bit more strange and odd, unusual mm-hmm. is a word I've been hearing a lot in talking to people in and around, you know, the team and the league.
So that was Nate Taylor, and that was his commentary around Josh Simmons. I do not believe that Josh Simmons is going to play this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not there. And we all know Andy's rule. If you don't practice, you don't play. So today, as they are hitting the practice field, and he, to my understanding, is not in Kansas City and is believed to be in California with family, then I think it is safe to assume that he is not going to be playing this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I think there's a couple of different facets of this. Number one, I don't think in the short term it's that big of a deal. You have Jalen Moore, and sometimes things work out exactly how they're supposed to work out. This is who their left tackle was supposed to be. You saw him play on Sunday Night Football, and he did a fantastic job over at left tackle. He's healthy. He's now practicing with the ones. He's coming off the momentum of playing very well against the Lions a couple of days ago. So I don't have any worry or concern in the short term about where Josh Simmons is and if you will be okay at that position. But it will be certainly great to know when he is coming back. Now, I want to be very clear about this because I don't want there to be any confusion about it. I do not believe that we are entitled to an answer on where he is. It could be anything. Death in the family, mental health reasons, sick. I don't know what it is. So I don't come from a place that I think we in the media, we as fans, we as outsiders, I don't think that we are privy to any information of the dealings that are happening inside their locker room. But when it is presented to us that it doesn't sound like the chain of command happened or proper communication happened within the group, I think it has kind of continued the suspicion. I would also say, if you were the Chiefs and you know that the questions are coming, I would say on a Wednesday, the two biggest stories with this team are the return of Rashee Rice, which we'll get to in a little bit, and where is Josh Simmons? Now, that might not be the case on Friday or Sunday when they start to play, but on the Wednesday, when you are starting to practice, the fact that one of your stars is coming back to practice and another one of your stars is MIA and you don't have a timetable on when he's coming back seems like a pretty reasonable story to me in all of this. This is the thing. I think in some ways fans are being a little bit hypocritical here. Now, I'm not putting this on you, but at least listen to why I think this is the case. I'm here every day, and I see when things are off or things are wrong, usually the expectation from fans is you want the media to ask the tough questions. Hey, why don't you guys ask Andy this? Why don't you ask Matt Nagy this? You guys give them a pass on these things. Well, now when it's time to ask the tough questions related to one of your players' absence, now there seems to be a major pushback on why are you guys asking these questions? Because that's the job. The job, in my opinion, in the media, sometimes it is to inform, sometimes it is to entertain, but sometimes it is to gather information. We all want to know something. How or who is supposed to go figure out the why? Usually it is the media. So I don't have any problem with how it's being played on both sides. I do think the Chiefs have added to this. I think if you were the Chiefs, there was a way to put this fire out from the very, very beginning. And I think they created some of it. It is safe to assume that the initial report came from them. I don't think that Josh Simmons' agent told Tom Pelissero, hey, the Chiefs front office doesn't know about this. I don't think that's where it came from. I think that part of the story came from the Chiefs. Somebody in the Chiefs, pretty high up, that would know the conversations that happened inside their group, told a prominent media member, hey, this, I don't know if this was signed off. We didn't know about this. And that is what set this thing in motion. So I don't have any problem with the Chiefs saying this is an internal matter. We understand it. We're figuring out. And when we know, we'll let you know. I also think that it's the responsibility of the media to figure it out. I don't know what we would know if we just waited for the team or the company to tell you what was happening. No, the purpose of media, the purpose of journalism is to dig deeper and find out the truth. And I think we all want to know the truth when it comes to Josh Simmons. Not rumors, not innuendo, not speculation. No, why is your very promising 22-year-old left tackle who was playing at a Pro Bowl level, why did he seemingly leave in the middle of the day on Sunday? That's abnormal. That's unusual. And usually when you have a story that is unusual, people's antennas go up, especially in the media and in a profession and a business that runs on information. You don't have to be inside the media or inside journalism to see how this thing works in the NFL. How is Adam Schefter so popular? How is Ian Rappaport so popular? Because they deal in information. We figured out a couple of years ago that Adam Schefter gives six figures worth of gifts to people and personnel in the NFL in trading for information. So you can only keep this secret for so long. We always end up finding out because there's a lot of money. There's a lot of prestige in figuring out this information and sharing it with the public. The Chiefs are trying to keep this as close to the vest as humanly possible. But trust me, you can't do this forever. Maybe they can keep this out, and then they are the ones to reveal this information. But I don't know how long you're going to be able to do it, and I don't have any problems with the media asking questions. Sometimes when you do this job, it's just going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Yes, everybody wants to talk about the wins, and everybody wants to talk about the championship parades and when things are going well, but sometimes you got to ask a question that pisses somebody off. That's the job. So I don't have any problems with the Chiefs. I don't have any problems with the media. I don't have any problems with you guys wanting to know or not wanting to know or telling us to move on. That is the cycle of the content wheel that we are on when it comes to this story and this situation. I do think one thing is abundantly clear. This is not going away until he comes back. And when he comes back, he is going to have a press conference. And guess what? People are going to ask, where have you been? That's just kind of how this goes. Coming up on the other side, we'll read your text messages, 913-586-7965. We'll also play some audio for you guys. The Lions fans, the Lions media, radio hosts are still crying about Sunday Night Football. I'll tell you what they said. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, today is one of those days, and it usually happens in the middle of the week as we're transitioning away from the Chiefs' last game and looking ahead, that I normally have like a plethora of just very random thoughts that I want to share with you guys. I know that we can't do them on Friday, we can't do them on Monday, so I have like a very limited window to just get the nonsense that goes on in my head. I don't consider myself to be old yet, but I also know that I'm not young anymore either. Like, I'm getting pretty close to 40, and I accept that. Like, I'm not having some midlife crisis. That's not the purpose of what I'm telling you is. But I'm starting to realize that a lot of the content with the current athlete is normally making fun of people like you or I. So I was watching this video earlier today, and they were showing college basketball players a VCR and asking them, what is this? And none of the basketball players knew what this was. Like, some thought it was a DVD player. Some thought it played music. One person said it was a record player. I don't like that kind of content, and it feels very specific. Like, I don't know why you just can't leave us alone. We're not bothering anybody. Rob, our generation has done a lot. We have pushed things forward in a way that not many other generations can say that they have. I don't know why they try to target us with this content. I was watching this video a couple days ago with Cooper Flagg, and they were showing Cooper Flagg basketball players from 2006. So the year that I graduated high school, they had a pack of cards. He opened the pack of cards, and he was going through it, and do you know this player? And for him to like see like Michael Finley and Dirk Nowitzki, like guys that you and I grew up watching, and he's like, oh, I've never heard of this guy. And it's like Chauncey Billups. I'm sitting there and I'm very, very confused that they have to create this content that really pokes fun at people like you and I.
In that same vein, I remember this happened. I think it was Big 12 football media days. This is like in August. And they had this feature. They had a bunch of the quarterbacks lined up and they showed them every NCAA football cover athlete from like 2000 to now and see how many they could name.
No clue.
They were, and it wasn't like they were struggling with Jared Zabransky, okay? You couldn't get the boy.
They were struggling like Larry Fitzgerald. I've seen that one.
Matt Leiner gave these people all sorts of problems. And I was like, I've never felt more old than thinking to myself, I saw that guy win the Heisman. And now Sawyer Robinson of Baylor has no idea who Matt Leiner is. It absolutely hurt me to my core.
And what makes it so frustrating is those are usually the people that tell you, you don't know ball. I don't know ball, but you don't know who Lindale White is. Who's the one that doesn't know ball? I think it's actually you, young man. I want to play this audio for you guys. So this is from 97.1 The Ticket. Now, we like 97.1 The Ticket. We just had somebody on the show from Friday, John Jansen. Shout out to John Jansen. Now, Rob found this, so good job by you, Rob. This is their morning show. This is from earlier today. So this is Wednesday. We in Kansas City have moved on. I'm not too interested in talking to you guys about the Sunday night football game from a couple of nights ago. What is there to talk about? The Chiefs won. That's not the case in Detroit. They're still complaining about Sunday night.
So Brian Branch pulls up, okay? He pulls up because Mahomes is going to score.
Doesn't need to light him up and get a penalty.
Yeah. He pulls up and he slightly bumps him. Patrick Mahomes turns and looks at Brian Branch, spins the football at his feet, points in his face, gestures again, flexes, and runs off the field. Four taunts. Four. That's 15, 15 more, 15 more, and 15 more. Wow. That's a 60-yard penalty. He taunted him four times. Did he get flagged? No. You know, Brian Branch has shown up on the NFL's game day accountability list more than any other player this year. This will be his fourth time. One of his accountability penalties for the very random amount of $11,593 was for taunting, okay? Mahomes taunted Branch four times on the touchdown when Branch pulled up and could have lit him up.
Do you think that we will see this week on the accountability list when they start handing out the fines for the week, Juju Smith-Schuster will get fined for his hit on Brian Branch that was unflagged? Because they will fine you for stuff that was unflagged.
Yes.
And do you think that Patrick Mahomes will get flagged for taunting?
I don't know.
He's not going to get flagged four times for the same taunt. But
no, he should.
Hey, amen. I want to give this message out there. And Rob, I don't know if you're going to clip this. I don't have any control over what gets clipped, but I want to tell you guys one thing that I want to apply this to everybody that watches football. I don't care if you're in the media. I don't care if you're a fan, a texter, a caller, emailer. I don't care. If you are complaining that taunting penalties were not flagged, that's as down bad as you can possibly be. That is the lowest you can possibly be as an NFL fan. If you are mad that the quarterback who scored a rushing touchdown spun the ball in the defensive player's face, I don't ever want to hear you talk about how the game has gotten soft. I don't ever want to hear you talk about back in my day or how it used to be and that the game is less physical and now you want the big bad referees to throw a penalty because the quarterback spun the ball in the defensive player's face. I'm going to say, I've been real disappointed in how Detroit has handled this ass whooping that they got on Sunday Night Football. It started with Brian Branch saying that he felt that he was being bullied by the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, this is a defensive player, a safety, a guy who's supposed to penalize you when you go over the middle of the field. He said that he reacted that way because the other NFL players are picking on him. They're not being nice. They push him around, they block him, and they're a little bit too rough. So after the game, he got mad. And instead of doing something during the 60 minutes that the game was actually going on, after the game, when nobody is expecting any shenanigans, he went up and punched Juju Smith-Schuster. No, now we wanted a 60-yard penalty on the quarterback for taunting. This reminds me of that one scene in Remember the Titans. You guys remember whenever Sunshine said to let the defensive player through, and then he flipped him, and then the coach went over there and was like, that's a flag, that's a flag. And like, for what? Like, on the quarterback? He spun the ball and flexed in his face, and you wanted the officials to throw a flag? I thought you guys were the organization that was talking about biting kneecaps. I thought this was the Motor City. I thought it was about toughness, blue-collar town. You want taunting penalties in the National Football League? I've been real disappointed in the Detroit Lions. I honestly thought they were a little bit better than this. And I'm serious. I thought they were better than this. I thought they were true gentlemen. And I thought they could accept the loss that they had on Sunday Night Football. I don't know how 3 days later they are struggling this much.
It makes no sense to me. None. What do I always say about people who complain about the refs? It is the march of the losers. If people in Detroit were complaining, was it now 4 days later, 3 days later? If they were complaining that, hey, the Chiefs beat us because we were hurt, I would think it's a little bit lame, but I would listen to those conversations. If you're saying, oh, I wish, you know, we were healthier, I wish, hey, that call in the first quarter hadn't been reversed, I would at least hear those conversations, whatever. But asking the quarterback to get a taunting penalty, a 60-yard taunting penalty, no shameful. Less, is just shameful.
Really quickly, I'm sorry to cut you off. This man wanted the king-size penalty, too, not just a regular 15. The regular 15, that might just be the fun size. Then you get hit with anything more than a 15. That's when you get hit with the regular size. No, he wanted the four-pack. He wanted the family. A 60-yard penalty? Come on now. I'm sorry. Come on now. We ain't here talking about sportsmanship in the National Football League. What's going on? You're triggered because he tried to shake Brian Branch's hand. You're triggered because he spun the ball on the ground. What are we doing here? This is supposed to be football, is it not? Y'all the main ones talk about how soft the game has gotten, and now we want taunting penalties? Nah, man, not back in my day, man. Back in my day, we would have the icky shuffle. Back in my day, we had choreographed dances, spike the ball, get in the end zone. What happened to the U? What happened to the 90s Cowboys? What happened to Deion Sanders, who would start high-stepping at the 15, 20-yard line, letting you know how slow you were? That's how we grew up. And now we want taunting penalties on the quarterback? Unacceptable behavior. That's what
he
it is.
He wants him to catch a fine, too.
Unacceptable. He wants him to get fined. He wants him to take money out of his pocket. That man trying to take food off of Sterling's plate. How dare you do that to Bronze? Bronze want the new Hot Wheel. Christmas coming up. You trying to take money out of Pat's pocket, out of his Christmas fund. Unacceptable. That's what it is, Rob. It's unacceptable.
It's quite literally sad. For an organization that I felt like was one of the more physically intimidating, tough, hey, blue collar, nose the grindstone type of franchise. I thought Dan Campbell was installing culture. That culture apparently stops at the walls of the facility because the radio host complaining about taunting. 3 days later, on Monday, I would still think it's lame, but at least it makes sense. It's Wednesday. Move on. You have the Bucks in 4 days or 5 days, whatever. Talk about that.
I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. I'm serious. It's crazy, man. I don't know what's going on, man. I'm serious. I don't know I don't know what's going on. Somebody said bro was adding these penalties up like it's compounding interest. No, that's what he was talking about. That man wanted a 60-yard penalty. That man wanted the extra point from the 15 on the other side of the field. That's where he wanted them to kick the ball. Knowing Harrison Butker, that would have been the one he made. Knowing him, he would have made the 70-yard kick and then missed a 41-yard kick routinely. No, that's what would have happened. Rob, can we take a quick break from sports? Just a very, very small break from sports because I want to compile a list. And I think that this is the right time to compile this list. I told you guys yesterday at the end of the show that I am currently in the market for a new car. It's just kind of time, you know? And I usually try to do car things before the weather really starts to get cold. If you've been listening to The Drive or me for quite some time, you know that me and winter and vehicles, we have not always had a great mix. I've certainly had my issues. Rob, I don't know if you remember, there was one winter day that I was in a ditch. I had to be saved from the ditch. And that's when I realized, hey, man, it's time for me to get a new vehicle. Now, my vehicle, it has lasted me a very long time. I actually looked it up, Rob, today. I had that car since 2013. That car has been very reliable to me. And now, you know what? It's just time. It's time for us to go our separate ways. So every morning for the last few days or so, I've been getting up a little bit earlier and going around to car lots. I know that some of you are like, why don't you just do it online? No, because I want to go in there. I want to see the salesperson. I want to shake somebody's hand. I want to walk around. I want to sit in the car. I want to test drive the car. This is a big decision. This is a big major purchase that I'm thinking about. Buying a car is a bottom five adult experience. It really is. And I've never bought a house before. So maybe buying a house is a more unenjoyable experience. But I'm telling you that buying a car, bottom five adult experience. Not very fun. Not very enjoyable. Not something that I would advise somebody to do. I know you got to do it, especially where we live. You know, we all know a friend or a family member that lives in a bigger city that they don't have a car. You know, one of my best friends lives in San Francisco, doesn't have a car, gets around very well. Friends that live in Chicago don't have cars, have great jobs. They just take the train. New York, that's not where we live. You have to have a car if you live in Kansas City. So I have to go through this process, but I'm here telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it. You feel like they're trying to get over on you. And you know, you just have no clue. You go into a very blind. You know what it's like? This is the analogy I'll make for you're trying to buy a car. It's like you're Micah Parsons and they're Jerry Jones. That's how it feels. They've done this thousands of times. You've only done this three or four times. And you feel like they want you to sign up for a deal that you probably shouldn't sign up for. Rob, do they have agents like car agents? Like, is there somebody that you can hire? And you just tell them, hey, this is the kind of car that I want. This is the price range that I want. Why don't you go out and you do the work? And then when you find that car, you bring it back to me and then we'll talk about it. I mean, that's what an agent does in any other business. Like if I hired an agent for our profession, I'd be like, hey, I'm ready to move. I'm tired of Rob. I don't want another Darren Peterson update. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to be around getting updates about the 19th best team in college basketball and a team that clearly has a 7 seed coming up. I don't want to do it anymore. So you're like, oh, okay, cool. He would go, he'd find me a job, and then he'd come back to me and be like, hey, do you want to go work in, I don't care. If I can get away from Rob, yes, I'll accept the job. That's how that will work in my profession. Is there that person for cars? Is there a person that I can hire, and then they go get me a car and then bring it back? That's what I want to know.
First off, I don't know when the Darren Peterson update this week is coming, but be prepared. We're going to have a Darren Peterson update because Bill Self spoke with the media earlier today. So be alert. We got 72 hours to get a Darren Peterson update. Good things are coming in Kansas basketball. Those were unnecessary shots by you. Two, what you were basically describing is you want a travel agent, but for car buying.
That's what I want, sure.
Or you want a real estate agent, but for car buying. To my knowledge, they don't exist.
But why not, though? That's what I'm saying.
I have no idea.
What I'm saying is I don't know why.
Every big purchase does.
I don't know why that doesn't exist. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why this doesn't exist. Why can there not be a person that does all of the... Think about this. Everything that you can possibly do as an adult, there is somebody that will do it for you. If you don't want to cut grass anymore, guess what? there is somebody that will come to your house and cut the grass for you. Let's say that you hate cleaning up around your house. Guess what? There's somebody that will come to your house, clean it up, and get it all nice and shiny for you. You never have to wash your car. You don't have to do any of those things. Why is there not a person that you just go talk to and you sit down with them and then you tell them what you like, and then in a week he comes back to you and then he has a car for you? Why can't they have this person? Maybe this is a business right now that, Rob, you and I need to figure out. You got a 17-year-old kid that wants to get their first car. You don't have time to sit here and look around. You don't want to do all of that. No. So you hire me, CarDot. I go out, boom, boom, boom. I get you the little bucket for your 17-year-old that's playing JV, and then you got you a car. How about that? CarDot. That's what we're going
to
call it.
Text line is claiming. Now, I'm like,
here
you
go, text line about to start hating. They're about to start stealing my ideas. I know how they get down.
Text line is saying there is something that like this that already exists. They're car brokers, although via popular in LA. Car liaisons is one person with texting in is what they're called. There's a bunch of concierge services that people are texting in. Auto brokers. Apparently, this service does exist.
That's what I'm saying. We need to start it right now. CarDot, me and you. Me and you, we're going to do this. What kind of car are you looking for?
I thought like this would be a bad job for us, but we can start the company, get some actual middlemen.
All right. I'm just asking. That's why I'm here. I'm here to ask questions. I'm here because I care. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I care. The C stands for a lot of things. Complain, car. It also stands for care. It's CarDot because I care.
By the way, you think car buying is a bad experience, and it's not great. Homeownership, everything under the homeownership umbrella is worse. All of it. 100% of it. You know what I did last weekend? I cleaned the gutters. Let me tell you something. Awful. Just absolutely awful experience. 0 of 10. Do not recommend.
Yeah, I can't really imagine a life, and I'm happy that I don't have to imagine this life. On a beautiful Saturday, this is what I'm guessing you did. You and your lovely wife, you guys had a nice brunch. You know, you had a nice little meal, and you're like, man, I got to do some errands around the house. You then clean the gutters to then finish that, come inside, and then watch KU get smoked by Texas Tech. You had a miserable Saturday. That's not the life that I want.
I was out there. I missed the first half of Bama-Mizzou because I'm up on the roof. I came in time to see the second half.
Yeah, of course. You came right inside to watch them start losing.
I was like, oh, man, Ty Simpson's balling. What have I missed? And then I had other chores around the house to get done because our dishwasher wasn't working, and apparently now I'm the expert on these things. Just if you think car buying is bad, homeownership is just – it's a constant cycle of we need you to fix this thing you have no ability to fix.
Okay, well, I didn't know. That's why I'm here. I'm here to just – I'm here to let you know how Carrington does adulting. That's part of the show every week. I have to just give you guys an update on everything that's going on. Speaking of an update on everything, I know we talked about this yesterday, Rob, but there was like one part of this that we didn't discuss nearly enough, so I want to do it today. So you know that Matt Nagy is up for the Titans job, the other name.
As far as the Titans, they now have to find a new head coach. A couple names to watch, Colleen. I would say Matt Nagy, who worked with Mike Bergonzi in Kansas City certainly would be a name to watch, the decorated Chiefs offensive coordinator. And then Arthur Smith, the former Falcons head coach, also a former OC in Tennessee.
Is there a group of people that have less imagination, less creativity, and less ability to think outside of the box more than people who hire football coaches? Like, just think about it. Whenever there is an opening that's available, you usually hear and see the exact same names. What would make you think that Arthur Smith has a chance of being a good head coach in the National Football League? Like, basically, outside of when Derrick Henry was the greatest running back that we've ever seen, I don't really know what else Arthur Smith has done other than be the son of the founder of FedEx. That's all he's really done He was the offensive coordinator there. I mean, they were pretty mediocre on offense. And then Derrick Henry had one of the great runs. That run then ended. He was pretty smart to get out of it and then go to Atlanta. I mean, he did absolutely nothing with the Atlanta Falcons. He then got let go. And now he's the Steelers offensive coordinator. Has there been something magical with the Steelers offense that I've missed that now he needs another chance at being the head coach in the National Football League? Are teams trying to save money on shipping? What Why would you want to hire Arthur Smith to be your head coach?
I mean, they college football does this too. It's just at a smaller scale.
It's everybody that wants to hire a football coach. It's like they only know the names of 15 coaches, so you have to hire one of those people.
It's just, it's a retread of Palooza. Everyone in coaching gets a second chance. Everyone. Doesn't matter how hard you failed, you are getting another job. Unless you flame out at Ball State, and even then, you might get a JUCO job. Like, it is just a constant churn of the same names. Every once in a while, and maybe we're at fault here, because every once in a while, they do bring a new name, they do something different, and we immediately crap on it. Like, I know we got our jokes off at the Lions and how their fan base is not tough. Dan Campbell was a position coach. Me and you made fun of that hire, and it's been a really good hire. Like, maybe they're just so afraid of losing the press conference that it's just the constant slog of, hey, guy who was a head coach failed, got rehabilitated as coordinator. Now let's give it another shot. Like, Mike McCarthy's going to get another job eventually. And that's the same thing we've seen 20 different times.
Yeah, but I guess, like, winning the press conference, it just, what does it matter? Like, winning the press conference only feels good in the moment. No one remembers the introductory press conferences for 99.9. The only reason we remember the Dan Campbell press conference is because he said the weird thing about biting kneecaps. You don't remember anything else. Andy Reid's introductory press conference. Rob, do you remember it? Do you know what he said? Like, I don't know why winning the press conference is just such a big deal to people. What does it matter? Hire the right fit. And you're right. We in the media, we as the outsiders are going to criticize whatever hire you end up making anyway. We're going to criticize it when you hire Arthur Smith. We're also going to criticize it when you hire somebody that we don't know. We're just going to criticize it anyway. But it just seems like it always lacks imagination. Like right now, the Titans are looking for somebody. Well, let's hire the Chiefs offensive coordinator, or maybe the Steelers offensive coordinator. Like, really? That's it? We're not going to maybe think about this thing a little bit more. We're not going to give it more thought, more consideration. I don't know. The whole thing just doesn't. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Let's continue some college football conversation. Let's keep it with the coaches coming up on the other side. There was a lot of coaching news in college football over the weekend that we didn't get a chance to get to. I'll give you my thoughts on James Franklin. Also, is Indiana the best team in the country? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour, but there has been a lot of college football news that we haven't gotten the opportunity to talk about yet, so why don't we just do this right now? I want us to put in proper context what we are currently seeing right now with Indiana's football program. Indiana had never won 10 games before last season. In their entire program's history, they had never won double-digit games in a season. They won 11 games last year, and currently they are 6-0 and look to be a team that could finish the regular season undefeated and potentially win the Big Ten. Now, I think Ohio State is the best team in college football. Now, a lot of that is based on they won the national championship last year and they haven't really done anything to shake my belief that they are the best team. But if we are talking about resume, what you've done, what you've accomplished so far this season, Miami probably has the best resume of any team in college football so far this season. And I think Indiana's is number two. Indiana just went on the road and I thought dominated Oregon from basically start to finish. It might honestly be one of the most impressive wins that we have possibly ever seen. Now, Rob, I don't mean this as to snipe at KU in any way, but when KU had that great season in 2007, they didn't have a win like that on their resume. Like, usually the upstart team that kind of pops up out of nowhere, they don't usually get the marquee banner road win that you can really hang your hat on. Oregon can win the national championship. That's a national power that we're talking about. One of the five best programs in college football. And when you're a seven and a half point favorite, the way that they were, you usually don't lose to teams like Indiana. You usually don't get dominated by teams like Indiana. With their current head coach, Kurt Cignetti, they're 17-2 with him at head coach. We are talking about one of the greatest runs, not just currently in college football. We are talking about one of the greatest runs in the history of the sport. You don't do that in this sport. We don't see new powers pop up in college football. You see them pop up in college basketball. Gonzaga wasn't a thing in 1995. They then became a thing. If we go back and we look at the teams that were really good 30 years ago in college football, it's basically the teams that are really good now. Except Indiana popped up out of nowhere. Look at right now in the sport. Alabama's really good. Notre Dame's really good. Georgia, Ole Miss. Programs that you know, you're not supposed to be really good if you're Indiana in college football, and they are right now. They might be the best team.
What Indiana's doing is crazy impressive. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I discount them a little bit. I thought Oregon was going to flex their muscle.
I did too.
It was going to look like, remember last year when Indiana was undefeated and they went to Ohio State and got thumped?
I agree.
I thought it was going to look like that. Man, Indiana not only went on the road and won, they might be playing in Indianapolis here in the Big Ten title. And if they play Ohio State in the Big Ten title, because I don't believe they play each other in the regular season, I don't know that you can just put in pin that Ohio State can beat Indiana. Like, Indiana's going to go back to the college football playoff. Indiana has a chance to win the Big Ten title. They had a chance to win. They all have a chance to win the regular season title. Like, Indiana is the biggest story in college football. And we spent a year, myself included, kind of, oh, that's a cute story, but wait until someone, they play someone real. They've played real teams this year, and they have absolutely shown they are part of the creme de la creme in college football.
I would say that one of college football's biggest problems, no program wants to accept what they are. When it comes to coaching searches, and you start to hear some of the unrealistic coaches that you think you can poach away, you start to find out everybody that cheers for a college is delusional. Everybody thinks that they should be in a tier higher than what they are. Everybody thinks their ceiling is higher than what it is. That's the problem that Penn State has. Penn State thinks that they're Michigan. Penn State thinks that they're Ohio State. They think that they're Georgia. They think they're Oregon. They're not. Penn State lived a very good life for the last decade, being the seventh best program in college football. Not good enough to win the national championship, but good enough to play against just about anybody else. They just fired a coach who was 34-8 in his last 42 games and paid him $50 million to basically scram, get out of here. I don't think we've ever seen this. I don't think we've ever seen the fortunes for a coach turn so quickly who was as talented, and we're not talking about off-the-field issues. We're not talking about we found out that James Franklin has seven mistresses that live somewhere or was intimate with some college student. No, we're not talking about some scandal that got him fired. Penn State was leading Oregon in overtime just 3 weeks ago. At home, they had the lead in the first overtime against Oregon. And since then, they've lost to UCLA. They really got pummeled by UCLA. They lose at home to Northwestern. They're now, hey, you take the $50 million and go elsewhere. We don't want you anymore. We've never seen this kind of turn. when I'm talking about a coach who, for a team that we thought could win the national championship at the beginning of the season, for them to fire their coach in the middle of the season, and now I'm looking at their schedule, no James Franklin, no Drew Aller. Are we sure Penn State's making a bowl game this year? Because we can go through the Penn State schedule. I don't know if they're making a bowl game. Again, life comes at you fast, and I don't know if we've ever seen it come at a team faster than we just saw it come at Penn State.
To your point about teams kind of failing to understand what they are as a program, the names that have been floated around, the realistic names that have been floated around for Penn State, I'm not talking about the Penn State, you know, message boards that are saying crazy names.
I mean, there's only one name that really makes sense there.
It's Matt Rhule.
Yeah, for sure.
And Matt Rhule is just James Franklin. No, he's a program builder. He was elite at Baylor and elite at Temple.
He's a very good head coach.
He's a very good head coach. This is no disrespect to Matt Rhule. Isn't Matt Rhule's knock the same knock we just saw with James Franklin? Good head coach, good recruiter. What's the biggest quality win Matt Rhule has had in his college football tenure? Like, it might actually be Penn State when he was at Temple. Like, it seems like it's the same person, just he has a Penn State lineage.
Yeah, and I guess, and this goes along with kind of what led this from the very beginning, is the people that you would think are greater than James Franklin are the truly great coaches, right? What do you think are truly great? Like, I know it sounds crazy because he just got fired. If we sat here and we made a list of not guys that you think are on the same tier as James Franklin, what coaches in college football do you think are better coaches than James Franklin? I'm telling you, the list is only guys who have won national championships. It's the same conversation we have about quarterback in the National Football League.
Dan Lanning probably is on that list, but like, he's going to win a national championship.
Yeah, I mean,
one day.
We say that until you got to go win one though at some point. I mean, you probably would have said 10 years ago you think James Franklin's going to win a championship at some point. I love Dan Lanning. You know, I told you 2 weeks ago I think that Dan Lanning would be the number one overall pick. He got smoked in the college football playoff last year. Got smoked. They just lost at home to Indiana. There's no guarantee they win it this year. Now, I'm with you. You keep getting enough chances, I think Dan Lanning's eventually going to get there. But I just think we do this a lot with coaches. I think we do this a lot with players. I think you're seeing this happen in your program at Kansas on a lower scale. You get enough success, and now you've won 6-7 games, and now it's, well, hold on, our ceiling's a 9-win program. Maybe it's a 9-win program, but you got to find the absolute perfect coach, and that coach also has to want to be there. Indiana right now has the most unique situation possibly in the history of college football. And when they lose that head coach, guess who they go back to being? They go back to being Indiana. I said that Indiana had never won double-digit games. Rob, they've never won 9 games in a college football season before this coach got there. They never had 9. Their high watermark was 8, which is an okay season, right? It's nothing anybody rides home about. You don't remember 8-win college football teams. No one does. At Indiana, you get parades about them. If you win 8 games at Indiana, they bring you down and they honor you at halftime. That's what happens at Indiana. They won 11 games. They're ranked 3rd in the country right now. Everybody is chasing that high on what their ceiling can be. Very few people in college athletics can accept what they are at that present moment. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Chiefs. We'll talk about Rashee Rice, who is back at practice for the first time since November 27th of last year. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.